Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our historic lectionary lists seven observances which are called principal feasts of Christ. These are normally observed when they happen on a Sunday: the purification of Mary and the presentation of our Lord, the Annunciation of our Lord, and the Visitation are principal feasts involving Mary because they are connected to Christ's person. The circumcision and name of Jesus, the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, St. Michael and all angels, and All Saints' Day round out the list. Today, St. Mary, Mother of our Lord, is a festival but not a feast, which means it occupies a lesser status. And yet this festival gives us an opportunity to learn important things about Mary, the mother of our Lord. Fittingly, we focus upon her words as we have them in the Magnificat, this hymn of praise to God, which is included in the prayer offices of the church, Vespers, an evening prayer. Mary spoke this at her meeting with Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptizer. You can follow Mary's hymn of praise, the Magnificat, on pages 231 and 32 of your hymnal, if you so desire. Luther remarked poignantly that men often fly from honors so as to be pursued by honors. Politicians fit this category nicely. I'm a humble servant of the people. My parents raised me in this log cabin, etc., are the words that we hear, but they really mean, I want to rule over you people, and I'd be pleased if you would let me do that. Listen to what I say. Mary points to nothing except her low estate, her social status. This glorifies God. Said Luther, then humility is truly good and steadfast in every way, and yet is never aware that it is humble. God chose Mary for the sole purpose of bearing the Christ, and for that reason she is called the God-bearer or the Mother of God. From her womb, our Lord Jesus Christ took his flesh and blood, our flesh and blood. The Apostle Paul summarized it succinctly in our epistle. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Mary exclaims that God did not look at her humility or her virtues, but on her humble estate. God did not go to the daughter of the high priest of Israel, nor to the daughter of the king, but to this one despised. A nobody, really. But that's how God has always worked. Paul described it in this way to the Corinthians: but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. All glory must be given to God, not to Mary. God's grace toward her is what must be praised, because Mary, too, needed a Savior. We do not deify her or even call her the Queen of Heaven, or as one Roman Catholic theologian likes to say, the Queen Mother. She is not. She does not sit beside nor above the throne of Christ. as I saw above the altar in a cathedral in Bogota, Colombia. There are some who regard Mary as sinless. That's completely false. Mary denies any thoughts of her being called sinless by calling God my Savior. This child she bears shall be her Savior as well as the Savior of the whole world. The Roman Catholic Church did not adopt the sinless of Mary until 1854, when it was made a doctrine which must be believed in order to be saved. It's called the Immaculate Conception, not to be confused with Frank O'Hara's Immaculate Reception of 1972. In 1870, the Vatican Council adopted the doctrine of the infallibility of the Pope when he speaks ex cathedra, that is, on spiritual matters. That was followed up in my lifetime, the year 1950, by another doctrine necessary for salvation, the bodily assumption of Mary into heaven. That Mary did not die because she had no sin, but was bodily assumed into heaven. This doctrine has neither scriptural proof nor any historical evidence for it. The church never bothered to look for her grave nor her bones, and yet Mary has been elevated to the position of co-redemptrix, co-redeemer. She is not. She remains the humble servant of God, the mother of the Christ. We dare not forget that the Word of God shall establish all articles of faith and life, and no one else, not even an angel. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, so help us God. Mary, however, remains the example of how one receives the Word of God. She simply believes it. She rejoices in what God is doing for her, God her Savior. She rejoices in God's mercy. She remembers His mercy shown to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring. She accepts God's will for her, as difficult as it will be. She accepted what Zechariah said to her, that a sword would pierce through her own soul because of her son's death. Today's observance sets motherhood in the center. How does one escape visions of Christmas crèches with Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus? The family, as God intended, is modeled here. Two parents, male and female, a nuclear family as God designed it in Eden. From this family will come the God-man, the Savior of the world, God's only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. His earthly parents will take him to the temple. They will teach him God's word. He will increase in wisdom and stature until the day that his earthly ministry begins. And he will lead a sinless life, suffer, die on the accursed tree, be raised from the dead as the victor over sin, death, and hell. He will ascend back to his heavenly throne and rule over the world for his church until he returns in glory. Yet motherhood is under severe attack in our culture. Having children, nurturing children, is denigrated as worthless activities which thwart and stunt a woman's progress in competing with men. The cultural Marxists have the family directly in their crosshairs as their first target. When one thinks of Marxism, one thinks first of economic issues. But the early Marxists missed the real message. In 1843, Karl Marx penned a letter to the German philosopher Arnold Ruge, in which Marx called for, quote, the ruthless criticism of all that exists. Author Michael Knowles commented, Marx wanted to watch the world burn. Another follower of Marx, an Austrian communist who was also a disciple of Freud, Wilhelm Reich, encouraged all manner of sexual deviancy to destroy the family. While none of them lived to see their dream, we are living their hoped-for nightmare. There are many voices which tell women not to have children because it will derail their careers. Indeed, the birth rate has plummeted in Western societies, and there are not enough babies born to replace the dying. Motherhood is degraded by the media almost without exception. The nuclear family with male and female parents is assaulted. Marriage rates hover near 50% of couples living in the same home, a far cry from what previous generations have been. Aided by millions of babies aborted each year, it seems as if Marx might get his dream. Marxists have understood that cultural upheaval must come before political revolution. The nuclear family must go. The government will raise our children. This is, however, not a sermon on politics, nor a call to arms in the culture war. It is a call to look thoughtfully at the Blessed Virgin Mary. We call her blessed, not because the blessedness comes from her character, but because it comes from God himself. Mary points back to God as the source of her blessing. She demonstrates what true humility is, which is yielding to the will of God. God will deal with the proud whose hearts are filled with rebellion against their Creator. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones in the past. A noted governor whose arrogance was off of the charts was dethroned this past week. Tyrants are taken down eventually. The rich and the powerful blow away like the dust that they are. To dust you shall return, proves true 100% of the time. Only the Word of God remains. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, true God and true man, as the Athanasian Creed confesses, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man born from the substance of his mother in this age, perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh. How should we think of Mary? As she herself testifies, blessed by God because the son she bore is her Savior and your Savior and the Savior of the whole world. Her blessing is received, not given by her. It is given through Jesus, Mary's son, the Word of God incarnate. His kingdom shall never end. To him be glory now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.